Hi, everyone. My name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway,
a podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass, so if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header, and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's trek further down the path of
Improvisation Nation.
Improvisation Nation. What the hell? That sounds like something we just threw in there because we couldn't come up with a better name.
It rhymes. It's the best we could do.
It's almost like a subset of the word.
Yeah. Improvisation Station.
I think it'd be kind of cool.
That was about it. Relation? I don't know.
But I know at some point you were calling it improvisation without music, which just makes it sound kind of confusing, but that's sort of what it is.
First, before we start this, my voice is a mess because I have allergies and it is not COVID related.
That's what you get for living in nature. Come back to that's the death cities, to the cages.
Anyway, the concept of improvisation, it's taught in schools and all kinds of curriculum as a way to create music on the spot, right? It's pretty much the basis of what we do. We have to be spontaneous, quick with our ears, insightful with our replies. But if you look it up in the dictionary, the meaning of improvise is simply to create without preparation. It's not a music-specific word at all. As a matter of fact, the Marines use it, and they say improvise, adapt, and overcome, meaning that that branch of the military is trained to improvise, adapt, and overcome any obstacle in any situation. So,
I mean, that's what we do literally every day, all day in life. That's why it's so crazy that it's like even a word that seems to be special, like even just speaking, we're just improvising. That's
absolutely,
that's like where you want to get with music, but music's just way more complex.
True. I mean, unless you have a speechwriter all day.
Yeah. Well, you still fuck things up as we've seen. I have a connection with G Dubs. His speechwriter was a friend of mine's like close relative.
Okay.
And I always used to laugh. I'm like, what? Like, he would write this shit and then G Dubs would just butcher it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I can't even imagine now with that speechwriter. He's probably just crying every day in bed.
G Dubs wasn't the best speaker.
No, he wasn't. But he was enthusiastic, though.
Yeah, he had vibe.
Yeah, he'd probably look at that speech and be like, oh, shit, I get to say this. Nice. It's going to make me sound so smart. And then he would just fuck it up.
Yeah. I mean, big words were hard for him.
Yeah. But anyway.
If we talk about improvisation as musicians, let's take an example here. Let's say that you are with a group of musicians and you're playing a vamp on one chord, like a C7, all right? And the whole group...
Are you gearing this toward guitar players? Are you trying to make fun of me? A vamp in C7? You looked right at me when you said that.
Well, I don't have anyone else to look at right
now. At least it's not E minor. So I guess thanks for that on behalf C7. Of all the guitar players.
Jake, there's no sharps and flats. Well, no, actually, there's a B flat in that one. Anyway, so we're in C7. And then let's say the whole group goes to an F7, right? Which is the 4 chord if you're in the key, right?
Well, I mean, were we just talking about the military? Shouldn't these be major sevens? Not petty officer sevens, just full-on major sevens.
All right, that's ridiculous. I can't even, I'm just moving on. I'm not even going to. We're vamping on C7, everyone in the group. And then all of a sudden an F7 happens and you hear that. You should hopefully quickly hear the change and go to that chord, but you should also have a couple thoughts, right? First, are there going to be any other chords that that are, this is the start of, right? You better be ready. And secondly, you know, if we're going to other chords, what are the most obvious choices? You know, maybe a blues, since we want 1-4, maybe so it's a start.
You mean like what you should be thinking functionality?
You should just be thinking ahead. Like, yeah. Why did they go to the four chord? Are they just going to hang on this and then go back to the C? Or,
and you know it's the four chord because you just established C for a while as a vamp.
Yeah, you guys were jamming on C.
So all that stuff's just happening. So you're like, oh, right. It's an F. That's the four because C wasn't the 5 or the 3.
Right.
It was obviously the 1.
Yeah, like if you're on C7, it's a 7 chord, and then you hit the 4 chord, which is also a dominant. Like, it just sounds bluesy, right?
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, so I'm just saying, like, that's all the shit that's going on in your head.
Yeah, it's going on in your head. Or so you might think that it could be a blues, but you have to listen. Do people go back to the 1 chord? And if they do they go back to it in a way that would make it kind of a blues form and in the right amount of measures? Or does someone start playing a melody maybe that leads you into a different tune? Maybe it's not what you thought it was. Or maybe it's just, you know, a random jam to a 4 chord and then it'll stay there. Who knows? Yeah. All these things are things you have to look around. You have to see what people are doing. You have to use your ears and listen to everything. You know, use cues.
Well, it's kind of funny because, like, so we're talking about improvisation, but musicians at different levels are bound by different rules, right? So, like, right away, mm-hmm. I'm already thinking, if you're playing with musicians, that's like the most basic thing, right? You go 1, you go to 4, so you might go back to 1, and then you go to 5. So that's already like established in your head, right? But the way like improvisation is awesome is like I've done gigs with singer-songwriters where they are not bound by those rules. They don't know what the hell any of that means. Mm-hmm. So they'll stay on chords like a measure too long, or they'll go to like the 5 before anything ever, you know? So it's like improvisation, you can also like shut down those rules and just listen. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, this person's like doing that because they're not establishing the same rules as a certain genre and stuff. So that's kind of cool. I'm already just thinking about
that. That's why you have to leave your ears open. That's what I'm saying. Like this, you can't just assume it's a blues because someone went to the 4 chord because it might not be.
Yeah.
But you have to imagine that it could be and keep open that possibility. So basically, you're on your toes thinking of possible outcomes, keeping your ears open, listening to the other musicians simultaneously and doing all this stuff. You know, we as musicians have this gift to be seriously creative with our problem solving. And a lot of people that aren't in music or art don't have this daily routine of doing this. There are certain careers that are full of daily problem solving and creative answers. But we're specifically gifted with this, although sometimes we struggle as musicians with making quick and effective choices in our daily lives and careers. You know, why is this disconnect, or what is the reason for this disconnect?
Yeah, that is weird. Because if you think about it, like musicians, they'll just be like, oh, I didn't make enough money this month. I'm gonna learn like C++ and just learn how to code.
Right.
Because like that shit's easy to me because my brain works like that. But that's always like something that you learn, and it's always a genre of like either education or a career, but our lives are always kind of a mess. So yeah, why do we treat our lives differently? That's weird.
It's weird that we have such amazing skill. I mean, we're literally trained just like someone in the military would be trained for a specific purpose. And someone that's a mathematician is trained for, I know that's a weird disconnect, but it's not, you know, the musicians were literally trained to improvise and make quick choices that in a group setting that makes sense and further along this narrative so that we can all work together and make this beautiful piece of music and art.
Yeah.
And yet in our lives, we struggle to find the similarity in that. And there's a lot of similarity, you know, I mean, we have to use our brains to make our lives and careers better using the same exact, I don't know, synapses or whatever they are, and the same creative logic, you know?
If you look at it, those thoughts, like when you talk about the blues, that's like an outline. So mm-hmm. we can see skeletal like shapes, and like we see all that, and then that's our guideline. And then we do shit in between. Like you'll do changes. Like if you're going to a 5-1, there's a bunch of stuff you can do in between there. So it's like all that stuff we just do on like an emotional feeling whim that's like creative. So we can like fill in all these gaps that are just a skeletal outline. But I don't know. I don't know why that is so hard in everyday life. Are we like too emotional, or are we just, we need more of a roadmap? I don't know.
I mean, if we go back to the music for a minute, a lot of times, if you think about it, it's kind of like that show Dark. I know that you watched it and I watched it. You have these possibilities and timelines, right? Let's say, let's get supernatural here, or like into the time travel quantum realm, where you have these parallel universes, right? And you make a decision, you know, just like any of these time travel shows like Donnie Darko, which is an older movie, or Dark. But if you make a choice, you can either go on path A or path B, and then that branches off into different paths and all this stuff. It's the same with music. The more you've learned and the more experience you have in music, the more possibilities you see in your head. And then all of a sudden you hear someone do something that will spark maybe a different possibility you didn't know, or will confirm something that you thought. Although the more talented musicians and the better improvisers have these just, you know, hundreds of possibilities in their head at all times. And they go by either a feeling, or they go by hearing something else that someone else has done. When we talked to George Coleman, you know, who played with Miles Davis and all those great musicians, and he's on these amazing records with Herbie. He's on Herbie Hancock's Maiden Voyage and all that stuff. George said that when he was playing in Miles's group, that Miles would ask, he said that Miles said, he said, "Hey, Herbie, you know," he said, "why don't you play that, those same chords behind me that you play behind George?" And Herbie's answer was, "because you don't play the stuff that George plays. He's playing different stuff than you. And I just react to it." And George said that none of that stuff was planned. All that reharmonization that George played and that Herbie played, like George would play something and he said, and Herbie would put a chord to it. You know what I mean? It was that simple. And so that kind of quick thinking, and just leaving your mind open for possibilities, again, this is what we're talking about, but we are going to get into how this relates to your life as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's, that's the real language base of music. Cause it's, if you're just playing and someone's reacting, then like, there's really not a whole lot of thinking going on, really. It's just, you're like, you're so well trained and hopefully well practiced that it's like the language just catches up with you. Mm-hmm. Like it'll just be there. Like that's, it's just like when you speak to someone, like you don't have to think about the words. It kind of just comes.
No, but they're all there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like what I'm saying is that you might not be conscious of these hundreds of possibilities in your head. I don't mean to say that we're overanalyzing things as musicians, but the truth is that we have all these things in our heads, if you know them or not, and they offer us a chance to improvise.
Is why we always say play with people better than you, because they'll bring that out. You might not know you have access to some of the language until they fucking bring it out of you. And people, you know, that aren't at your level or beneath your level, and it's not a bad thing. Everyone's got their own time frame of like where they are, but always play with people better than you if you can.
You know, we did this masterclass a while back with Ron Jones, the composer of Family Guy. He did Star Trek, The Next Generation, and all this stuff. But he did this one thing where he talks about your career path. And he said that people often, he put a point A and he put a point B on a whiteboard, you know, essentially. It was a big easel, I think, but it doesn't matter. Just a whiteboard's fine.
It was paper. And, it was straight up paper.
Yeah, it was paper, you know. But I mean,
he was
anyway,
like a mad scientist. I love that.
Yeah,
guy.
It was mad. So, and he said people think that when they start their career that they're going to go like this, and you draw a straight line from A to B. He said, but more likely, it's like this, and then he drew a line that went up and around and back behind A, and then under A, and then above it, and finally, he's like, and maybe it gets to B, or maybe it goes to C or D, like possibilities you hadn't seen at all in the beginning. That you branched out, you know, because the fact is that people's careers, they don't often go the way you think. You might think you're going to be just a performer, and then you realize that you really like producing, or, you know, you do that, and then you end up more into that and less into live playing, or sometimes things go exactly as planned, but oftentimes there's a lot of detours, and oftentimes people that think it's going to be a smooth road go through all these hoops and end up where they want to be, but maybe after doing this and this and this and this and this. So the point is that there is no way to do it without improvising and adapting. I mean, if you're not pliable with your plan, if you're just dead set on, like, think about if you're a musician and you're like, you're vamping on C7 again, and someone plays like a C sharp minor chord, you know, and you're like, no, you know, the whole band plays that. And you're like, no, this is going to be a blues, guys.
Yeah,
like, this is the only
refuse.
Thing I know. Yeah. I know I have to go to F7 here. They're like, well, we're just taking
just
it out.
Stick to it,
yeah. We're just playing a C sharp minor chord, you know?
Yeah.
Like if the whole band does it, like you can't, you're not just going to refuse, are you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's improvisation. So sometimes with your career, you have to take if you notice that, for instance, you're getting called a lot for a certain thing, and maybe not something that you thought you were going to be called for, but you're getting a lot of work in another area, it may be something to consider, if you don't, you know, unless you hate doing it, pivoting and trying to capitalize on things that you are actually making money doing. These are all little things that we have to do. And basically it's just, I don't know, what's the word? Just not being so rigid.
Johnny Depp came to LA to be a guitar player. He wanted to be a rock and roll guitar. Seriously. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think it was, I forget who the hell it was, one of his first, like Nicolas Cage or some shit like that, like just saw something in him and was like, hey man, come like try to be in this thing that I'm doing, you know, try to act. And fucking Johnny Depp was born. And now after all those years, Johnny Depp's coming in playing rock and roll bands, which isn't our friend the drummer? Our fucking first, our first masterclass guy. He's their drummer.
Glenn?
Yeah.
Glenn Sobel.
That was our first video that we did. Glenn Sobel. He plays with those cats.
He was with Alice Cooper before.
Yeah. He's with Johnny Depp's band when they were doing some shows. But anyway, like that's exactly like what you were saying with career. Like he improvised.
And some people find that they don't even want to be full-time musicians right out of college. Like I had a friend who's played with Steely Dan right out of college. He, amazing tenor player. And he realized very soon on, like, I don't know, in his early 20s that he just wanted to be a lawyer.
That makes Steely Dan seem so bad.
I know.
No. It's like, I don't want to be a musician anymore. Fuck this shit.
I know. Of course, he's, you know, I mean, that's like a great gig, you know, and he's an amazing, amazing player. He was a star as a kid, you know, and he's like, ah, I just want to be a lawyer. I want to play my own stuff and do my own records, but also I don't want to live that life, you know?
Yeah, it's grueling for some.
And, you know, that's a hard pivot after music school, just to go to law school and do it all over. But he's happy. You know what I mean? Like everyone, you have to make your own choices and you can't be afraid to pivot. If something's not right, whether it's that you don't have the passion anymore to be a full-time musician, or you just don't want to live like that, which is completely understandable. The lifestyle's not for everyone. So I don't sugarcoat that. Or that you're doing something that isn't working. Like you have to pivot. You know, I mean, if you're hitting the pavement every day and not getting anywhere, then you have to do something different. It doesn't have to be changing up completely.
The pavement's
but you have
not
to change,
change.
Yeah, you got to change your strategy.
It's the pavement's going to stay the same. You have to change. It's funny, like that lawyer thing, because, and you've known other people to just like bail on music and go into like biology and fucking sciences.
Sure.
But this is a big difference between, well, this is a great reason why musicians are awesome and why people want to have music in schools at young ages. Because here's what it teaches you to do. There's improvisation, right? So that's like problem solving thought process. Like you can process things and you could see different directions of all of it. But we're also really good at like being book smart. People don't understand that. Like the practice of music, martial arts, like all that stuff, it's so rigid. And if you can be good at that, it's like that's like the opposite of improvisation. So you have that skill, and if you have that skill, you can straight up fucking learn anything. Like that dude became a lawyer. Do you guys know how fucking hard law school is?
And immigration.
It's so brutal. Like you have to like be so, so disciplined and focused. Like all that reading.
For him.
Yeah. Like that's the thing. So it's like, you know, right now we're talking about improvisation, but like musicians have the other opposite end of that to the extreme as well. So we have like both worlds.
You know, Skunk Jeff Skunk Baxter from Steely Dan. I mean, he was in Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers and all that stuff. He's
always my favorite on those documentaries. He's like such a gnarly dude.
Well, he got into, he has Pentagon clearance or something. I mean, he works on missile guidance systems.
Yep.
Me and this band played this function for Jeff Skunk Baxter in Los Angeles when I was living there. And he sat in with us and played a few tunes. We played some Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan stuff with him. And he was talking about missile guidance with us. And he said that they hired him because he was a musician and he had this creative brain and he could think like a terrorist. That's what he said in quotes. And he said, because, you know, these people that were doing all the data and analytics, they couldn't think of these weird. Yeah, they couldn't think of these weird creative things. And he was like, well, what if like someone did this? Like, and they said, gosh, I never
thought
of
it. It's the same, like a writer or a director, they would have access to those ideas.
You know, getting back to us as musicians, we literally, the longer you do this, the longer you're in improvised music or creative process, the more you're training your brain to work like this. And again, you know, we have to utilize this in every day of our life. I know many musicians that are really creative once they get on the bandstand, but then they get off and they're incredibly rigid with their lives. Everything from their, you know, if their routine doesn't happen exactly as they want to, they get flustered, like whatever the case is, if something isn't exactly how they planned it, they get flustered. And it's a lifestyle that we live as musicians that is very uncertain. It's not that, you can structure it as much as you want, and that's important to have a routine and structure. But the fact is that we don't go to the office every day and sit in the same cubicle, you know? So things are going to change, you know, gigs get canceled, tours get canceled, new opportunities arise and there's always something new, and we're freelancers. So you have to constantly be on your toes and change things up.
It's funny how good we are in the office though, when we have to do that. Like it's almost like a vacation from like a freelance way of thought and like panic every day. Cause I've been doing that for a couple months now, and it is like, it's so nice, but at the same time, like I can't wait to get back to like my freelance life. Right. But we can be good at anything because we can adapt. Like that's all it comes down to. That's improvisation.
Yeah. There's some things I wrote down here that, I was thinking about in terms of this whole subject. One being that you should be psyched to learn new skills and get paid for it. And I know that Jake can totally get on board with this. This is something that many musicians won't embrace. But the fact is, if someone says, hey, look, like we have this project and I need someone to do sound design or mix it or do something, and you're like, it's not really my bag. Like if someone that you know is willing to give you a shot on something, especially, it's always good to learn new skills, because you never know if you're really, first of all, if you're going to need that in the future. And secondly, like you might really enjoy it. Like you might find that you really love producing or mixing.
I found another one last night. Or video editing. I found another one last night. I'll actually tell you guys about this one, because the technology for what we call rotoscoping, or like masking, essentially, like if you want to take a subject out of a video and put them anywhere, essentially what a green or blue screen used to be used for, you don't even like fucking need a green screen anymore because the technology is so insane. So like Adobe After Effects, you can use a roto brush and do all this crazy work it's still so tedious, no one wants to do it. If you have like YouTube friends that do a ton of videos or anything, like if you get good at that, you can make like pretty good money. Like I discovered that last night, because we've been using a rotoscope artist at the production house that I'm working at right now, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I should just fucking learn how to do this so I don't have to send all this stuff to this dude. Like but yeah, so you find stuff. The more people you do jobs with, the more now people you have to network with to find other ways of like making careers and making money. It's cool. Like to me, that's a fun part of like improvisation, because you're just on your feet and like you can learn new things and meet new people. And but yeah, I just had to stick that in there. Rotoscoping is super fucking awesome.
I mean, there's some things that might not seem like they're music related at all that could be really helpful. For instance, if you have a friend that says, look, I'm building my own studio and I just need someone to help out, and like, I'll give you some free studio time there after, you know, we, if you can help out, just do it, because you know what? You're going to learn how to build a studio.
Yeah.
Like you're going to get,
I feel like you've done that a couple times.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's why I know how to use, you know, table saws and all kinds of stuff. But I mean, the fact is that if you know how to hang drywall or how to insulate a wall or frame or do any of these construction things, down the line, that's going to help, because, you know, eventually you may have a house or you may have a space where you can build something. And it's, you know how much it costs to hire contractors? Lots.
Yeah.
You know, so if for small builds like that, when you're not doing something you need a hefty permit for, you want to be able to pull that off, even if you're making a vocal booth in your house or doing whatever the case is.
Well, I mean, what's the other option for musicians usually? What do we first think of? Teaching, right? That's it. That's the only other plan that most musicians have. It's like, well,
that's it.
Shit, man, this is going to be like a tough week, blah, blah, blah. Like, I guess I'll just try and get more students. It's like, first of all, do you really even want to do that? Second of all, everyone fucking teaches like all day, every day, especially now. So yeah, this is how you improvise. You now notice that problem, so you got to solve it.
Yeah, I mean, like for me personally, I have a random amount of skills, like a lot. I mean, not random, but a lot of random
Liam Neeson
style. Yeah, exactly. I have a specific set of skills, but you know, I know how to do some handyman stuff, you know, construction-ish stuff, because I was able to do that during, my dad was handy, and, you know, and I learned along the way. I learned how to mix and master in the studio, you know, and I did that for other people. I got really good at computers because I taught myself how to do things, and then I ended up helping people fix their computers, musicians that needed help when I was young.
He does that every day with my shit. But he has like an open remote account into all my computers, because it's fucking, I can't do that shit.
Adam's remote desktop.
No, but no. I don't have to pay him because we work for the same company.
But when I was a young up and coming musician, other, you know, more established musicians would have problems with their computers, and they'd pay me to come and fix them. You know what I mean? Like I was getting money playing bass and doing all that stuff, but I also was supplementing that with being a computer tech for musicians, you know? There's lots of things that, you know, people can work on websites. I've built websites for people too and gotten paid for that. You know, like there's all kinds of random things you can do that help your career, because you've learned how to build a website or do some computer stuff that actually helps you. And then once you understand that, you now know how to monetize that. And then when someone, you're at a gig or you just hear someone having problems, like you can actually charge to do something very specific. And these are important things, man. It's not just, like Jake said, it's not just like playing and teaching. That's just really surface.
The webinar we just did, most of the questions were like, what the fuck do I do during COVID? Because I can't. And like, these are the ideas. And it's all improvisation based. Because you have two choices. Either you can like improvise and find new ways to just like stay afloat, and even probably make more money than you're going to make in music. But that idea means you don't have to just bail on music. The other idea is like, you have to fucking bail on music, go back to school, get a fucking degree, and then get a 9-to-5 in that genre. And you can bring music back in like a smaller way, but essentially you're bailing on music in that sense. So like, those are your two options.
And there's so many ideas.
Yeah. So like, you don't have to like learn skills and then just quit music. Like learning new skills is so you don't have to quit music. It's a supplement, yeah, I mean, you know?
If you're really good at writing quirky songs or something like that, you can just write a children's record and be like, whatever happens, happens with it. And then all of a sudden you might be making tons of money with this children's record, you know?
And
then
getting called to do animation, music for animation.
Yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, it doesn't even, I mean, that was just a completely random thought, but
yeah, but that should
literally be. Yeah, it could literally be anything. Or if you have a really cool voice, you could do voiceover work. Like, you know, you could do...
Oh, dude, I've been watching Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
Like, when I finally saw the cast, I had no idea that, like, like all those voices are those people. Like, it's so crazy. Yeah. And, like, they're such unique, funny voices.
Yeah.
They don't, you know.
That's a good show.
Yeah.
What matters is that you have an open mind and about all the skills that you possess. And if you put the word out there that you're not just a musician, you know, that you do other things, that you build websites, or you are great at, you're a Pro Tools guru, or you know how to build studios and soundproof walls, or you know how to literally do anything, or you know how to do taxes. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like,
oh yeah, we actually got to do a podcast about that.
Your parents were accountants, whatever the case is, and you know, whatever you have, like, think about you personally, not just about what you can do on your instrument, and think about how you can make these sub skills make money for you. Another thing that I wrote down here that's kind of important in terms of being flexible and being able to improvise is staying current with new tech. There are a lot of musicians that are comfortable with what they're comfortable with, and they're not comfortable with the way things are changing. And sometimes you can get away with that. Sometimes people with bigger names, not, you know, actually longer in length, but because I remember Jake made a joke about that last time, but you know, actually played with famous people or are more famous, they don't have as much control over their Instagram and stuff like that. But oftentimes, if you get to a certain level, you have people doing that for you, which is also fine. But you need to stay adept with all the new technology. And if you're not, it's going to be tough when things like this happen, when you hit quarantine level events, because everyone is leveraging these new technologies in order to get ahead. And if you don't have that, it's kind of, you're kind of set out to hang and dry.
And then they're going to move even faster in that situation, which they have.
Yeah. So make sure that you stay up with new tech. You know, everyone at this point should have a way to record themselves, like everyone. And I know that a lot of people have recently purchased these things, like an interface or things like that, just because this event has happened. You know, I don't want to say you should have done it before, but, you know, do it now at least, and definitely get all that stuff together and be able to self-record, make engaging videos. You know, we did this really cool article, two-part article in The Motivated Musician, which is our guidebook. And we talked about how to make more engaging live streams and things like that using your sound card with really pristine audio, and also how to add HD video. It's not just your laptop or your phone, making things a little bit better, because remember, you have to compete with the entire world being online at this point. So if your stuff doesn't look better and sound better, it's going to be hard to cut through.
I think I might actually put in an article this month about a piece of software that could be helpful with like all the stuff that we're even talking about.
So oh, yeah?
Yeah, they'll have to wait and see, but I got an idea for it.
Also, to piggyback maybe or add some information to last week's podcast, one of our users emailed us a few apps that he uses to disconnect from social feeds and be more present.
Really?
He said, yeah, he did. Paul McAvoy did. He said it's called Freedom 2 or Freedom.2. And he said, I guess this can sort of work on iOS now, but it works on Android, Mac, and Windows. Lock Me Out. It used that's for Android. He doesn't know if it's on iOS. And Cold Turkey is for Windows. And he said, they're different web and app blockers. He says, I have it, so I can only use Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and the New York Times 4 times a day for 15 minutes a slot.
Whoa.
Really, it should be less than that. And then, you know, he goes on from there.
That's kind of cool. But so you could still have access to like texting and phones, like whatever you need.
Yeah.
You could probably like customize it.
But it monitors you, and
yeah,
it stops you from, you know, because the thing is, people don't realize how much they look at their phones. And I'm guilty too. Sometimes I'll just be staring at it for no reason. And people use it as a defense mechanism too. If they're in a situation where they don't really feel comfortable talking to a lot of people, they'll just go on their phones, you know?
Yeah.
It's better than standing in a corner, right?
Yeah.
But
I honestly don't remember what the hell I used to do before that.
Right. That's
I
exactly
no
what the
idea.
Social dilemma is about,
I have
right?
No idea what I used to do.
Yeah.
But that's a good idea, because like actually just shutting your phone off. No, like I will never do that. There's no fucking way I can do that ever. Like that's just, it seems dangerous to do that.
Right. And I would recommend Googling it. I'm sure that this is a partial list. You know, this is something that's getting global attention, how addicted people are to their devices and to social media and all this stuff. So I'm sure there are different ways to block yourself out or monitor it. I know that my phone can tell you, you know, how much you've used and stuff, and you can set restrictions on it. But, you know, if you find that it's a problem for you, then this is not a bad idea.
That's cool. Yeah. Thanks for that fucking tip. What was his name?
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Nice.
Some of the other things I wrote down about being flexible and being able to improvise. All right, I can just list some of these because they're so obvious. Staying informed with the state of the music industry and piracy and the things we face there. That is a big one. And we can kind of just gloss over that because if you still think that, you know, selling your music online is going to be your sole source of income, that you really must pivot quickly away from that and find different ways of monetizing because streaming services have made that difficult.
Yeah, a couple people actually come to mind. Ari Herstand is someone you should follow on Twitter. Look him up. He's got a couple books out, but he was fighting the good fight with, like, you know, streaming rights and like the whole thing that was going down in California as far as just how people can hire musicians. Like, he's done a lot for musicians and he's a badass dude and a good singer-songwriter. And then what was your boy's name that we did some stuff with?
Yeah, Adam Dorn. He also has the group Motion Worker, but he's done a lot of advocate work.
Yeah. Those guys are just, you know, you kind of search around their social medias, you'll probably find some updated stuff because there's always stuff going on.
Another thing I wrote down is be brave and make a move. Sometimes this is something else that came up.
Is that for a dating podcast?
Yikes. You should see that Connected thing, by the way, Jake. Have you seen that show?
Oh God, I don't think I want to. Is it about Connected?
It's about, it's like an NPR thing. It's on Netflix. It's kind of like The Social Dilemma. It's about how all of our lives are connected. And they talk about this. This one woman was on a dating app. I forget if it was OkCupid or one of them.
They're all the same.
And it was Tinder, right?
Oh, Jesus.
And she found out that they had 800 pages of personal data on her because she was asking what her attractability score is.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So she got in touch with them.
Yeah, because there's an attractability score. So you guys should watch that. It's nuts.
Like, she was blown away.
And basically, the AI of Tinder, if someone has a slightly lower attractability score of you, swipes left, right? Is that what it is? Swipe left.
Yeah. Swipe left is no.
Right. So you swipe left. You see, you can tell I'm
fucking
married.
Married people.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So you swipe left.
Ooh, and someone's faithful to their wife. Ooh, look at me.
And so if they swipe left and they have a lower score than you, it brings you down more than if an attractive person swipes left. It's this terrible algorithm.
Yeah. I mean, but you know how they make the excuse of like locker room talk? Like that's basically bar etiquette. Like that's how it works. That's just how it works. They just turn it into an algorithm, which makes it evil, but it's just so terrible.
Well, anyway, so that's another thing you should watch is Connected. It's really scary, man. When you see this, you just definitely don't want to partake in anything on the internet ever again.
I gave up on dating anyway, so maybe it'll just be comic to me.
But so what I'm saying is don't be afraid to make a move. And we heard this, so I'm getting away from the dating thing because that was just a total random aside here. But we heard on our, what was that called? I can't even think of it. Oh yeah. On this webinar we just did, a lot of people were talking about moving and, you know, moving to a new spot, starting fresh because their gigs, which they had, one guy was
a lot of cruise ship stuff,
a cruise ship gig for like years.
And he's gone. Bye bye.
Yeah. And he did 10 months out of the year on a cruise ship, and that's not happening. It may never come back, you know. If it does, it's not going to be for a while. And the other person who asked that question was right out of school, and, you know, moving to a new spot. But don't be afraid to make a change if you don't see any hope where you're at. And it's hard. And it doesn't have to be that dire. For instance, when I was in New York, I was gigging and, you know, as much as I wanted to all the time. And then I was writing for TV and film and starting to get licensing placements, but I thought more of that stuff was in Los Angeles, and which it is for what I was doing. And so I moved there because I didn't want to play as much as I wanted to write. You know, it was, and it was hard because all my connections were in New York. My family was in New York. Everyone I played with there.
Your shitty baseball team was in New York.
Yeah, my shitty baseball team just lost. Sorry. I shouldn't even be doing this. I should just be crying. But yeah, I mean, I made a crazy leap of faith, and sometimes you have to do that, you know? So don't be scared to improvise and do something that could help you. You know, don't do anything irrational, but don't be scared to make a change if you think it's going to help your livelihood.
If you know something is just inevitable, then just don't waste time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't play on a fucking cruise ship. Those cats are awesome in that webinar. They were just like, yeah, I'm going to move now. I was like, damn, that's awesome. Fucking just do it.
You have to.
Yeah. Like, I love that.
I mean, and essentially the way I always worked, and this is something that I've tried to tell people before, is that, and this is much like my beginning example with the C7 chord and us playing, like, you have to have a bunch of predictions in your head or a bunch of different possibilities that you can see that could happen. And in life, you should be the same way. For instance, when I was licensing a lot of music, at one point I saw that the web content was starting to come a little faster than they had regulated. They didn't really have the same licenses in place for that. And I was getting a lot of money for TV placements and film stuff. And you could see the sheet of exactly when it was played on what network and all that stuff. And once the web came by, they didn't really have that together yet. And so it didn't pay the same. And right away, I said, you know, this is a writing on the wall, and I don't know how fast they're going to iron this out, if composers are going to get the same amount. And, you know, I started pivoting into other directions. It's the same with live music. When September 11th happened and I was in New York and tourists just stopped coming in, and the city was insane. I started thinking about how to write my own music and produce it and do different things and pivot out into different areas. I used that time to kind of rebuild and add to my skill set. And, you know, the same thing with COVID now, everyone's in the same boat. So I'm just preaching to the choir here, but, you have to look ahead and see past what's happening right in your current reality, get out of the present, get out of the past, and say, like, what's going to happen in a year, and where do I want to be? You know, what's the trend? And then, you know, as you get older, you're going to have to change. So this is another thing. This is more about adaptation through time. But as you get older, you're going to need to change. I mean, either you're going to need more money to support your lifestyle for some people. You may have kids, you may have a wife, you may just have not want to live with a roommate. Like, there's all kinds of things that are going to happen, and you might be
physically. You can't just eat burgers hammered at 3 a.m. and expect to wake up and just go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body changes, things start to hurt. You know what I mean? Like, you might not want to. I've heard this from a lot of people. I know famous musicians that they couldn't do big tours anymore because their backs were messed up from whatever, and they couldn't stand that long and play on a stage. You know what I mean? Like, there's all kinds of things that could happen in your life, and you have to pivot. And either you do more recording or more teaching or more this or more that, you start something. Hopefully you have a good answer for that, because you're going to have to change at some point. A lot of people take this into account when they're younger. They say, I don't want to be doing this exact thing by the time I'm this age. But oftentimes people just live very, very in the present, which is good advice for most therapists would say, you know, live in the present, don't live in the past. But you also have to think about the future.
It's like when there's no gangster movies being made, all of a sudden Robert De Niro's in like a Sprint commercial. Like,
Exactly. Yeah. So to sum all this stuff up, pretty much, it's just taking your improvisational way of thinking and applying that to your entire life, not just music.
Yeah. Like, if there's a roadblock on your way to work, you don't just fucking stop and not go to work, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, smash through it.
You have to now improvise and, like, you still need to get to work. I mean, it's the same, the F7, like, you're not going to fucking play a C-sharp minor if they go to F7.
True. I mean, you can, but you know, you might not get called for that gig again. So keep your mind open and try to be as flexible as you can. You know, the world is changing constantly, and it's a flow, you know, it's a flow of different elements and different news stories and different social patterns, and try to think ahead and think about where we're going to be in a year, where we're going to be in 6 months, where we're going to be in a week, and where you want to be in 10 years or 20 years, you know, or whatever the case is. And yeah, and have a plan, just like we said, like Ron Jones was talking about. There's a point and there's an A and there's a point B, and the line is not straight. It's often windy. So I think that's it for now, guys.
See ya.
The long and windy road.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there you go.
See ya. Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So look forward to hearing from you.